it's high dependence on information and systems delivering the information. So there is high dependence in today's business environment for information. So every day morning, once we get our MIS or we check our emails, what happens if the email server is not available? What happens if the network is down? So there is a very high dependence in today's time on the information and the systems delivering the information. And therefore, COBIT ensures that all these things are readily available. Investment cost to garner information and set up secure information system. Increase in vulnerabilities and the spectrum of threats, including cyber threats. Increasing regulation to protect customer information. All this is part of COBIT. So COBIT framework supports governance of IT by defining and aligning business goals with IT goals and IT processes. COBIT is highly IT process oriented and applicable by business as a whole. It's a control model that can meet the needs of IT governance and ensure integrity of information and information system. It's a framework structured into 34 IT processes, clustering interrelated lifecycle activities or interrelated discrete tasks. So there is a crisscross cross-checking of all the tasks into 34 IT processes. So COBIT 5 principle is 1. Meet the stakeholders requirement needs. 2. Cover the enterprise end to end. 3. Apply a single integrated framework across the organization. 4. Enable a holistic approach. And 5. Separating governance from management. So in details, they are the 5 key principles. The first one, as we discussed, is meeting the stakeholder needs. So it assumes or presumes that all enterprise exists to create value for their stakeholders, which we know it does. Governance is about negotiating and deciding among different stakeholders' value interest. A good governance system considers all stakeholders while making decisions. And COBIT is a framework that does that. It covers the enterprise end-to-end. COBIT 5 integrates governance of enterprise IT into enterprise governance. It covers all function and processes within the enterprise. It applies a single integrated framework relevant to other standards and framework used by enterprise by the enterprises. It enables a holistic approach because it advocates a systematic governance and management through interconnected enablers. The 7 enablers are the processes. It understands the organization structures, the culture, ethics and behavior of the organization, principal policies and framework, what is information, services, infrastructure and application, people's skills and competences are mapped out. So with this 7 enablers, it interconnects all the principles and brings a holistic approach. So COBIT 5, so principle, policies and framework, processes, organization structure, culture, ethics, information, service infrastructure and application are treated as resources, people, skills and competencies are brought together, and these enablers help us to achieve COBIT objectives. It separates governance from management. It makes a clear distinction between governance and management. Governance ensures that enterprise objectives are achieved by evaluating stakeholder needs, setting direction through prioritization and decision making. Generally, the responsibility of board of directors under the leadership of chairperson. The governance is the responsibility of board of directors under the leadership of the chairperson. Management implies planning, building, executing and monitoring activities in the direction set by the governance body. So whatever governance body has set, the management has to execute it, and responsibility of the executive management under the leadership of the CEO. So COBIT is based on analysis and harmonization of existing IT standards and good practices and conforms to a generally accepted governance principle. It covers a full range of IT activities and elaborates on what should be achieved and acts as an integrator of IT governance practice and appeals to executive management, business and IT management, governance assurance and security professionals and IT audit and control professionals. So COBIT as a framework covers all this, and it acts as a bond to achieve. It looks at the organization as a whole and goes from end to end to achieve the objectives. Now, after completing COBIT 5, we will get into payment card industry data security standards. It's a very niche area, card industry. We all use plastic nowadays, and it has a distinctive data security standards which we need to understand. So what is PCI DSS? Payment card industry data security standards. It's a set of requirements which is designed to ensure that companies which process, store or transmit credit card information maintain a secure environment. So obviously, how do you use a credit card? So you get a card which is given by a bank, most probably in India especially. So you have a card by a bank, you go to a merchant outlet where you buy whatever you need to buy, and then you give him a card. He swipes it on a machine. That machine may be different from the bank that has given you the card. So there is a POS terminal, we call it. You swipe it. This information goes securely into a master or a Visa card that you have, into their network. It goes to your bank, checks your limit, and against that limit gives you that credit, and the response comes back. Once the charge is printed out, you sign it and you go away, and then settlement takes place in the behind. So it looks very simple for a customer or a consumer, but it has a lot of interactivity, data transmission going at the back end, and PCI DSS actually addresses those. So it's therefore, it sets a requirement to ensure all the companies which process, store or transmit credit card information maintain a secure environment, because it will be very dangerous if your details are available to anyone else. Proprietary information security standards for organizations that handle card holders for major debit, credit, e-purse, ATM and POS cards. It applies to all organizations or merchants, regardless of the size or number of transactions that accepts, transmit or stores any cardholder data. It doesn't say I get only one card a day, so I won't keep that secure. I won't have a secure payment gateway or a POS machine. It says it doesn't matter whether it's one or 1,000 or 10,000 per day. It all has to comply to DSS standards of PCI. PCI was a standard created by major card brands like Visa, Master and MX. PCI SSC, which is Security Standards Council, it's an independent body, was created which defined the data security standards to increase controls around the cardholders' data to reduce credit card fraud via exposure. It's a validation of compliance. The validation of its compliance is done annually by an external qualified security assessor, QSA. Now, what are long-term impacts of security breach? We know that. So it's a sales and revenue loss. As a customer, you may get an immediate financial loss, but for a merchant, it is a sales and revenue loss. As a customer, you lose confidence in using the card. Therefore, it has to be done very nicely. The security has to be in place. There's a brand image loss. Staffs go out because no one wants to use your card. Your revenue losses start taking place. You get penalized for non-compliance with PCI. Your process improvement in compliance assessment and verification cost is there. Termination of facility to accept payment cards. The regulator may terminate your facility. Cost of reissuing a new payment card is high, and there's a legal cost around it. Three components of standards are PCI DSS, which is primarily for merchants and processor. PA DSS, which is Payment Application Data Security Standards for software developers. And PIN, which is Personal Identification Number, and PTS, which is Transaction Security Requirements, Personal Transaction Security Requirements for manufacturing of payment card devices used at point of sales, or POS as we call, point of sale machines. So SSC, which is Security Standards, it develops, manages, educates and raises awareness of the three PCI standards. The security standards team. The council also provides documents to help implement of PCI. Three key entities in any card processing system is the merchant and the organization that accepts the payment card, the manufacturing of the card device, software developers of the card transaction processing, card applications. Each stakeholder in the payment chain has well-defined scope of responsibility. So it's a chain, and we are going to go through it. The merchant's domain for data protection covers that the readers, when you swipe the card, the readers are used to swipe and collect data. So that is data protection is required there. Point of sale system, it includes the barcode scanners, RFID tag readers, etc. Network and devices, servers, wireless routers that you have. Payment card data storage and transmission over internet to merchants, distributed systems or service provider. Applications, whether it is in-house or third-party software. Access control mechanism to the card processing system. All this for data protection comes under the merchant's domain. Security technology and security processes go hand in hand for fixing the vulnerabilities and securing cardholder data. PCI DSS applies wherever account data is stored, processed or transmitted. And there are 6 goals of DSS and are associated to 12 requirements. So goal number 1, build and maintain a secure network. Which requirement 1 is, install and maintain a firewall configuration to protect cardholder data. So every network must have a firewall configuration so that only cardholder data is passed through it. Requirement 2, do not use vendor supplied defaults for system passwords and other security parameters, which means it forces you to have your own passwords and security parameters. Goal 2, once the network is secure, it's protect the cardholder data, which again 2 requirements. So it protects the stored cardholder data. So in the plastic that you hold, there's a stored details that is protected. And it encrypts transmission of cardholder data across open public networks. So when you swipe it and the telecom lines are used to send your data, that is sent in an encrypted format. Goal 3, maintain a vulnerability management program, which means ensure that you always use and regularly update the antivirus program that you have installed. And the 6th requirement is, you develop and maintain secure systems and applications. That means all vulnerability in that system, you have to keep testing, test for persistent threats, attacks, and keep improving upon it. Goal 4 of PCI DSS is, implement strong access control measures. You restrict access of the cardholder data by business need to know basis. You assign a unique ID to each person with computer access so you can track who has accessed what, and restrict physical access to cardholder data. So no one can just walk up to any computer or server or just take out the data. Goal 5, regularly monitor and test the network. With more and more people wanting to attack the credit card data, get the information and use it for their own means, we have to be on top of it and therefore have a plan to monitor and test the network for vulnerabilities, which covers the requirement 10, that is to track and monitor all access network and cardholder data, and 11, regularly test the security systems and the process. Finally, maintain an information security policy that addresses the information security. The Lucane in PCS DSS standard is the process of collection of information on the front end, whether through website, IVR or call center agent. So they many a times on the website you enter your details and also the 3-digit control CVV number, which frankly you should never give it on any website, but on the website that's the only way you can do a transaction. That's a risk because the DSS standard does not cover it. Or at IVR you input, or you give it to a call center agent. That's something which is not allowed, which does not cover in DSS, and that I'm sure with the new, once they come out with a new standard, it will cover. And compliance to PCI needs to be both in letter and spirit, obviously, for any law that is applicable. And improvements are constant, where one must access, remedy and report on a continuous basis. And so that covered the card PCI DSS system. We'll now get into quality management system requirement, which is ISO 9001. So ISO 9001 says any activity, project or business has many stakeholders and each perceives quality in his own way, and therefore quality can be viewed in comparative sense, quantitative sense, fitness for purpose or subjective sense. And ISO standards define quality as the totality of features and characteristics of a product or service that bears its ability to satisfy stated or implied needs. Now, quality management has a specific meaning within many business sectors. It uses quality assurance and quality control of process as well as product to achieve most consistent quality. So, in most of the business, the quality standard comprises of two parts, which is quality assurance. That means you will have some method to check the quality in line with what you have defined, and quality control of process as well as product. So, you will check both quality assurance and quality control on product as well as on the service and the process. Quality assurance refers to the process used to create deliverables, can be performed by manager, customer, auditor, third party reviewer, and includes all those planned or systematic action necessary to provide adequate confidence that the product or service will satisfy given needs. For example, process checklist, project audits, etc. While quality control refers to a quality related activity associated with creation of product or service or its project deliverables, it's used to verify that deliverables are of acceptable quality and they are complete and correct. It's about adherence to requirement, example testing process. So, methods for quality management and improvement, it covers product improvement, process improvement and people based improvement. You have ISO 9004:2008, which is guidelines for performance improvement, ISO 15504:2005, guidance on use for process improvement and process capability determination, QFD, which is quality function deployment, and Kaizen, which is a Japanese word for continuous improvement. You also have zero defect program, which is based on statistical process control. Six Sigma, which combines established methods like statistical process control, design of experiments and failure mode and effect analysis, FME, in an overall framework. You have Lean Six Sigma also, which is a little more leaner than the original Six Sigma. PDCA methodology, which is plan, do, check and act cycle for quality control process. The Toyota production series, which is lean manufacturing. TQM, total quality management, which is a strategy aimed at embedding awareness of quality in all organizational process. ISO 9000 series of standards are, it is developed and published by the International Organization for Standardization, which is ISO. It is define, establish and maintain an effective quality assurance system for manufacturing and service industry. ISO 9001 deals with requirements that organization must fulfill to meet the standards. Third party certification bodies provide independent confirmation that organizations meet the requirements of ISO 9001. Why it is widespread, why it is adopted everywhere? Because the purchasers, primarily the customers, want their suppliers to be ISO 9001 certified. It's a financial benefit for organization which has certified ISO 9001, because your customers are asking and they will take from you the products and services. Higher return on investment compared to otherwise similar organizations without certifications, and better operational performance. In manufacturing companies, improvements were seen in cycle time reduction, inventory reduction after ISO certifications. The internal process improvements in organization lead to externally observable improvements. So, once you improve processes internally, it helps in, let's say, meeting the customer requirements, improving the product quality and things like that. It increases the trade and market share, leads to higher customer satisfaction, and it is better interdepartmental communication. Many countries have formed accreditation bodies to authorize certification bodies. The various bodies have mutual agreements with each other on global acceptance of certificates issued by one another. An ISO 9001 certificate must be renewed at regular intervals recommended by the certification body. It's normally once every 3 years. And there are no levels or grades of competence within ISO 9001. A company is either 9001 certified or not certified. ISO 9001 promoted the adoption of a process approach when developing, implementing and improving quality management systems, and it helped in enhancing customer satisfaction by meeting the customer requirement and exceeding expectation wherever possible. It requires that the quality policy is understood and followed at all levels, therefore more training program, awareness programs were conducted. And the approach requires business regularly reviews performance through internal audits and meetings. That was done, and therefore people are aware of it, and it has a documented procedure for internal audits, so there is a documentation required. And PDCA methodology, which is plan, do, check and act, can also be applied in all processes. So this is where it is, right from customer requirement to customer satisfaction, continuous improvement, and you take the management responsibility, resource management, product realization, measure, analyze and improve your product, and keep doing value-added activities and information flow back to the customer requirements, from customer satisfaction back to customer requirements. Overview of the standard, which is ISO 9001 standards. Sections 1 to 3 cover introduction, scope and reference, and section 4 till 8 are core standards. 4 is about general requirements, which is it mandates the development of proper quality management system, QMS, implementing and using it and continue to improve it, which is continuous improvement is part of all standards. Emphasizes creating formal documentation for describing, managing and operating the quality system. Documentation starts with the enterprise quality policy and includes objective, procedure, records, work instruction formats, templates, etc. Many a times, therefore, ISO 9001 is also looked at highly documented environment because of this reason. 5. Requirement for management. It defines requirement that management must meet to demonstrate commitment to the quality management system. Management needs to have a vision, define and communicate how important quality is, have a quality policy. Responsibility and authority should be identified along with customer focus, and management focus should be on continuous improvement. Section 6 talks about resource requirement. So it tells you to identify what kind of resource you need, which can include people, equipment, machine, materials, facilities. People should be competent, that means training and hands-on experience, and management has to balance between what is needed and can be provided to meet customer needs. 7. Requirements for service or products, that is requirements for realization. So product realization starts with planning the activities leading to the product. Both explicit and implicit customer requirements needs to be gathered. Tracking of requirement, contracts and orders are essential for realization of the product. Customer communications plays a key role. Purchasing is an important aspect and also covers requirement for control of measuring devices. Section 8, requirements for analysis, measurement and improvement. So it always says that any quality system must be able to analyze, and for that they need measurement, and then using the analysis and measurement keep constantly improving. So PDCA cycle again in a different way in ISO 9001, and regular audit is required. Data on customer satisfaction level is essential, and post every audit measurement must establish corrective and preventive measures to fix problems and avoid potential problems. So the 8 principles of this standard ISO 9001 is customer focus, leadership, involvement of people, process approach, system approach to management, continuous improvement, factual approach to decision making, and mutually beneficial supplier relationships. ISO 9000 and 9001 is commonly criticized for amount of money, time and paperwork, as we discussed, required for registration, estimating cost for certification, resource requirement for implementation, and sustaining an ISO culture is difficult. ISO system mainly focus whether processes are being followed, but now not how good the processes are or whether they are correct parameters are being measured or controlled. and various industry sectors' interpretation of the guidelines are changing. With this, we come to the end of Chapter 4, Section 1. So, thank you and all the best.